It's really wonderful to have you here this evening, and I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12. I'd like to continue our study on the manifestations and this wonderful Spirit of God, and I would like to deal with tonight the manifestation of interpretation of tongues. In our last session we were together, we really went through a great deal concerning speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is one of the great, wonderful manifestations of the Spirit. And that manifestation is specifically for God. It is specifically designed for us in our private prayer life to speak to God. And what it does, just a little bit of a review, we speak the wonderful works of God when we speak in tongues. We magnify God. We praise Him by speaking well of Him. We give thanks well. And it is this wonderful manifestation is really prayer in the Spirit. The individual speaking does not understand what he is saying. It is not a language that you understand. It is a supernatural manifestation where you are inspired to speak a language that you do not understand, which gives praise and honor and thanksgiving to God, and it's designed for your specific private prayer life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." All of the manifestations of Holy Spirit are given for us to profit. There is a profit to these manifestations. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." There are 9 different evidences here listed. Now, from the beginning of our class, you obviously understand that the Spirit of Almighty God that He has given to us, this wonderful gift, has many more attributes and many more purposes than just these 9 things. Actually, you can add this to all the other things that we saw at the beginning of the class, where the Spirit of God will teach us the truth. And it will help us witness of Christ. It will bring things back to our remembrance whatsoever He has said to us. But these 9 specific evidences are listed here. And these are not the only ones, by the way. But these ones here are listed. It's not a complete list. God doesn't have to give you a complete list every time, He says something or does something in the Scripture. He expects us to study His Word, and He expects us to know all of the different things that He has said and put the pieces together, so to speak. These are all given for profit. The Spirit itself is given to us for profit, to help us, to be our guide. I want you to note, though, that here in what we've been talking about, the manifestation of, it says here, in verse 10, the latter part, divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Different kinds of tongues is another way of saying speaking in tongues. The reason why it's divers is because there's many languages that are spoken. And it's not necessarily that one believer will have more than one different language that they will speak in their lifetime. I mean, I know individuals who, as they speak in tongues, their language that they speak changes. Others I have known, including many of the people that I'm close to, that they always have the same basic language that they have spoken. That doesn't matter, but there are the possibilities of having many different kinds of tongues. a multiple of speaking of different languages, not necessarily at the same time. Let's put it this way. Let's not try to pigeonhole any one thing that God does. There is that possibility. The other thing I want you to note from this particular section is that the interpretation of a tongue is listed as a separate, distinct manifestation. It is not an add-on, necessarily, to speaking in tongues. I don't want you to think of it in those terms, because it has its own profit, its own distinctive profit. Speaking in tongues, as I just said to you a little while ago, it is for your private prayer life. But the interpretation of a tongue is for the church. It is for the edification of the church. It is still a message that you're interpreting. And what does the word to interpret mean? The word interpret simply means to give a sense of, to explain, to make plain, to give the meaning. That's what interpret means. So when you speak in tongues, the tongue doesn't change. Its purpose doesn't change. It is still prayer and praise to God. But now you are also, because this is a manifestation that is to be done in the church, I'll show you this in a minute. This manifestation is to edify the people in the church. You are going to interpret what has just been spoken in that tongue. But its purpose, its profit, is for the edification of the church. Do you see what I mean? In dealing with this manifestation of interpretation of tongues, I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians 14. I am going to share with you this evening all of the verses that are in the Bible on the interpretation of tongues. And you're going to be shocked to find out how few there are. And I want to show you these things. And then it becomes, at least for me, it became very obvious why there are so few verses concerning the operation or the purpose of how interpretation of tongues ought to be done in the church. There's only, I think, I didn't count them, but I think there's only 5 or 6 verses concerning the interpretation of tongues. An entire manifestation, and it has so little explanation. But again, the explanation should be very simple if you understand the purpose of speaking in tongues. I'd like to share with you a few of the things that speaking in tongues is not. Speaking in tongues is not an understood language. We've seen that from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, where it says here, "For he that speaketh in a tongue, he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." It is speaking to God. We saw this the other day. And the individual does not understand with his mind what he is speaking. It is not linguistic ability. It's not the speaking of another language that you know. If I was bilingual and I could speak Spanish and English, I would have the ability to speak in both languages by my mind, by my mental ability. I would choose the words that I'm going to speak. I would understand what I am saying if I was bilingual. But I am not. The only language I speak is English. Therefore, if I hear someone speak in Spanish, I know, because I know so many Spanish-speaking people, I know that they're speaking the Spanish language. Once in a while, I get confused and think they're speaking Italian. But for the most part, I understand that this is the Spanish language, but I don't understand the words. Speaking in tongues is not linguistic ability. It is not speaking another language that you know with your understanding. It's not gibberish. It's not foolishness. When you speak in tongues, you are either speaking a language that can be understood by men, or you are speaking a language that can be understood by angels. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Therefore, speaking in tongues is either a language that can be known or has been spoken among men on earth, or it is a language that has been spoken by angels. I think that's a marvelous thought, isn't it? It's a supernatural manifestation. And that is the other point I'd like to bring out. It's not something that you just do without the Spirit giving you the utterance. It's not gibberishness, it's not foolishness, it's not double talk. It's not you, by your understanding, making up unintelligible words. Speaking in tongues, as we saw its purpose, it is not for praying for yourself. It is not for praying for others. There's no scripture in the Bible concerning the manifestation of speaking in tongues that has anything to do with those two subjects. Many people think that, but the point is, it does not state that in the scriptures. Speaking in tongues is not to be done out loud in the church without interpretation. As we saw the other day in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in those verses, I think it was from verse 6 all the way through to verse 21, that Paul goes through great lengths to say there is no profit in speaking in tongues out loud in the church. And so many churches just do this. They do it all the time because they misunderstand the purpose of it, just as the Corinthians misunderstood it. The Corinthians thought that there is some benefit to speaking in tongues out loud. In fact, the whole church at Corinthians would speak in tongues out loud all together at the same time. And yet Paul says very clearly that he reproves them for this. And in verse 23 it says, if therefore the whole church be come together, and I'm in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? There is no profit to speaking in tongues. And I will add, there is no profit or sign to those who do not believe. It is not for the unbeliever. You're not to speak in tongues out loud in the church. And what does the church mean? I'm not talking about the building. The church is the people. When you and other believers get together and you've come together to pray and to praise God, to learn the word, to manifest the Spirit of God and have fellowship with one another, when you get together, the word of God says that your purpose in being there is to make sure that the other is edified. That's to be your concern. Not to show off spiritually, not to get all lathered up, so to speak, and show how cool and wonderful you are, which is what was happening in the First Corinthian church. And it happens all the time in so many different places. Most of the time it happens from an ignorant point of view. People just don't know or have never been taught correctly. But if you read the scriptures here, it is very evident that what we are to be and what this whole section of Corinthians is dealing with is that the manifestations are not to be misused, but the church is to be edified. So, look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5 again. And as I just said, this whole section, this whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is dealing with the misuse of the manifestations. People are being corrected. And that instead of misusing them, that the main purpose is that the church must be edified. Anything that goes on in a fellowship, anything that goes on in a meeting, has to edify and build up the people that are there. So it says in verse 5, I would that you all spake with tongues. There is nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. Used properly, it is most desired that you all speak in tongues much in your private prayer life, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Prophecy is the most preferred manifestation in the church. If you would go to chapter 14, verse 39. Again, it says here, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decent and in order. Again, that verse alone would give you the sense that there is a preference. Prophecy is to be coveted. It is to be desired in the church. But don't forbid to speak with tongues. It is certainly available and should be used in the church. But there is a proper time, there is a proper place to use it. Back again, this verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth. Why is it greater? Because we're dealing with the church. In a fellowship, it is not the matter that one manifestation is better than another, or it is that in a fellowship, prophecy is certainly to be preferred and greater than tongues. Because when you speak in tongues, no one understands it. When you prophesy, everyone will understand because prophecy is in the language of the people present. And then it says, then he that speaketh with tongues, except, see, and there's the exception. You can speak in tongues in the church out loud, but you must interpret. You cannot speak in tongues in the church out loud without interpretation. In verse 13 of this same chapter, it says, wherefore let him that speak with an unknown tongue, let him that speaks with tongues in the church, pray that he may interpret. You are to pray and to ask God that you would have the interpretation when you speak in tongues out loud in the church. That is your responsibility, because then the church is edified. Then this manifestation is used correctly. To speak in tongues out loud in the church without interpretation, it says very clearly in, turn the page, at least in my Bible, in verse 28 it says, but if there be no interpreter, if there's no one who wills to interpret, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Because that's what speaking in tongues is good for. It is your private prayer life. If you do not believe to bring forth an interpretation, you are to keep your mouth shut. You're not to speak in tongues out loud in the church. But you can very wonderfully and very beautifully give God praise to yourself. Speak to yourself. I'm not talking about muttering. I'm talking about no sound coming from you. But you, just like you can think to yourself without saying anything, you can speak in tongues to yourself. And that'll bring up another subject a little bit later. So go now to verse 13. It says again, wherefore let him that speak with the tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Again, speaking in tongues out loud in the church, there's no profit, because no you nor the people in the room will understand what you are saying. Verse 22. I said to you before that there is very little or no, there is no benefit. And let me take a moment here. Just think about this. There are denominations in the Christian church that teach their people that they are to speak in tongues out loud, interpret. I'm talking about a whole room full of people speaking in tongues out loud at the same time. this is going to show people who do not believe that God is here, that Almighty God is here. And you ought to be excited about that. And what happens for the most part, and it's happened to a few of us, even in this fellowship, we've gone to such meetings and been scared to death and couldn't wait till we got out. All right? Because it's a wrong use of the manifestation. There are other groups that teach that an individual, the preacher man, he is the interpreter guy. And there are people out there in the audience, they are to stand up and speak in tongues, but the preacher man is the only one with this gift of interpreting. All of these things are plainly seen in the scriptures that they're not correctly used. But to get back to my point, remember we read this the other night, but I want to go back and make sure that it's understood, because the same thing is true of both speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. When it comes to the benefit, all right, in the church, I've said it a dozen times, I don't mind saying it again, I know you're tired of hearing it. In the church, there's no profit to speaking in tongues out loud, either as an individual or as a group. There is no benefit to other people in the room at all. That's what the scriptures clearly teach. There's also no profit to interpretation of tongues for an unbeliever to turn on to God and to His Word and to believe. I used to think that an individual who, because of this verse that I'm going to read to you, I used to think that if an individual heard an individual interpreting tongues, this would be a sign to them that they would, you know, really want to know more about what's going on. That's what I believed at one time in my life. But I misunderstood, because I did not read nor go back to the context of what's taught here. It says in verse 20, after Paul has reproved the church for speaking in tongues out loud, 19, he says, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, and this is written in the book of Isaiah in chapter 28, starting at round verse 11. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying it serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. It says very clearly, tongues, and we're talking about out loud in the church. And I believe that this is true of both things, because the Corinthian church was abusing both at this particular time. That tongues is a sign, not to those that believe, but to those that believe not. That's what it says. To those who are unbelievers. It is a sign to those who are unbelievers. I always assumed it was a positive sign. But the truth is, when you go back and you read Isaiah chapter 28, you see a record where God's prophet goes and speaks to his people, and God gives the message to his people in a language that they can understand. And yet they reject the word of God, they reject God. So God says to them, I am going to give you a sign that what I have said is going to come to pass. There are going to be individuals that are going to take you over. The Assyrians are going to come down and they're going to take you over, and they're going to speak in your ears a language that you cannot understand. And this is going to be a sign to you of your unbelief. So I ask you the question. The quote comes from this section. What kind of sign is this to those who do not believe? It is a sign that they don't know what's going on and that they do not believe. For those of us who are operating this have the Spirit of God and are operating this manifestation, we know that this is God. We know that this is a manifestation of Holy Spirit. I know what it is. It's not a sign to me, it's an evidence. But the sign, when someone who does not know and does not believe, when they hear this, it is a sign to them that they don't know what's going on. It is not a positive thing. You know, that God gives signs throughout the scriptures. Not all of them are positive. When he wrote on the wall to the king and said, you were found in the balance, you were weighed in the balance and found wanting, this was not a good thing. But it was a sign to him. And it goes both ways. To the children of Israel coming out, the Red Sea splitting was a sign to both groups of people. One was on the right side, the other was on the wrong. But the one sign definitely made its point on both, didn't it? And again, this manifestation has a prophet, but it needs to be considered. You need to consider when, because again, the church is to be edified. And I wanted to say to you, if you have a meeting of believers and you have a lot of people who don't know what's going on, maybe it's not the best manifestation to use at that particular meeting. Maybe it's not the one that, because it is not going to convince them that God Almighty is, you know, is God. It just may end up having the opposite effect, and they may think, these people are crazy. So walking in wisdom and making decisions like that, but here I'm teaching in a room filled with people who all understand this. So to have that manifestation here, what it would do for each and every one of us, we'd all be edified when it's brought forth. You see? Look at verse 23 here. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all spake with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? See, again, I say that you must walk wisely when you're dealing with the manifestation of tongues. Because when this whole church in Corinth did this, there's no benefit at all, except for your own ego. Because the unbelievers, it will be a very bad witness to them. They will think that you are mad. And that happens quite often. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, that when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. And I can't stress this enough. In the church, it is the responsibility of every believer, but it is truly the responsibility of the individual who's coordinating the group to make sure that all that is done in that meeting is for one purpose, that every single soul is edified. And we're not just talking about manifestations here. We're talking about in general. See, there is a limit. Think about it this way. There is a gracious, wonderful limit to everything being a blessing. We come together at this particular fellowship, and we, because it's a blessing, it ends at a certain time. Or it ends by, it doesn't go beyond a certain time. Because then it's not a blessing any longer. you know, if you got to wake up the next morning and go to work and you're just, you know, you ruined your whole next day, tired, this was not an edifying experience. Prayer. People can pray. If one person, if 10 people in the room and they all want to pray, and one person decides to pray for a half an hour, this was not a blessing. This is not edifying the rest. This is frustrating the rest and cutting them off from praying with everyone else. Or, you know, you want to sing the songs, but we want to just, you know, sing so many songs that we all get hoarse. Or the teacher, you know, like, I'm not saying on occasion this wouldn't be nice, but, you know, or the teacher teaches and teaches and teaches and teaches until everybody in the room is swearing that they'll never come back there again and falling asleep. There's a gracious limit to everything, is it not? Well, the same thing is true with the manifestations of Holy Spirit. The church is to be edified. It says in that verse 26 again, when every one of you has come together, everybody in that fellowship, everybody in that church, God knows how many people there were, but they all got something to say. They all have a psalm, a song. They all have a doctrine. They all have a tongue, a revelation, hath an interpretation. Everybody wants to talk. See, the Corinthian church was extreme. It was extreme. They were zealous of spiritual matters. They were greatly, tremendously zealous of spiritual matters and things. But they were not concerned about the one thing that God is very concerned about, that the people are edified, that they are blessed, and that not that you get to show how magnificent you are. And I hope this makes the point. Everything has a limit, and therefore it comes right here in this next section here, verse 27. If any man speak in a tongue, let it be by two or at the most three. When people in the church are going to manifest and they're going to operate this manifestation of interpretation of tongues, number one, we know that they have to interpret, right? But let be by two. There's at the most three. There's a limit. There's a useful limit to everything, including the manifestations. And that by course. By course means one after another. Not to do it all at the same time, all together in a chorus. By course, one after another. And let the word one should be, there should be an understanding. It's a bad translation. It should be, and let each one interpret. So at the most, there should be three. It should be one after another, and each individual who spoke in tongues is to interpret. But if there be no interpreter, if there is no will to interpret, or no faith to interpret, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. I just think that that is so beautiful, so simple, and very plain. Verse 37 says this, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, but let all things be done decently and in order. And again, this is the tragedy that was going on in the Corinthian church. They were all very zealous people, but the thing that they should have been most zealous for was the taking care, the edifying, the building up of one another. Go back to chapter 14 in verse 12 and read it here. Even so you, For as much as you are zealous of spiritual matters, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Isn't that awesome? Now, when it comes to the manifestation of interpretation of tongues, I want to say this to you. There is no record, there is no example in Scripture of what it sounds like. I've just read to you every verse of Scripture that's got to do with it. There's no example of what it sounds like. The closest thing you get is in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, when it says that those Jews that were there that day, they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. But that was not interpretation. That was a miracle. They were speaking in tongues, and God had them all speak the language that the people in that room could understand. The other is the first time that the Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, in verse 46, where it says that those that were with Peter were astonished, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They obviously understood what was being said, but it doesn't tell us what they said. It does not specifically tell us what they said. It does tell us that the purpose of their speech was to magnify God. That is as close as it gets. Now I ask you a question. Why would God give 9 manifestations and be so skimpy as far as explanation of one of them? And I think that it is very clear to me, because if you understand tongues and all that it is talking about, that it is prayer to God, praise to God, eulogizing God, that it is magnifying God, speaking the wonderful works of God, giving thanks well, then you will understand, and you understand that that is prayer by the Spirit, then the interpretation is just simply the interpretation of those wonderful things. And all you need to know is that this is not a sign in the church for the unbelievers. It doesn't have a purpose like that. It's to be done one after another, at the most by 3. Three of them are to happen one after another, and every individual is to bring forth the interpretation. And that the church is to be edified. It's very simple in my mind. It wasn't always that simple in my mind. But it has become, the more I've looked at this, the simpler it has gotten in my mind. So look at verse 4. And this is the other thing I'd like to bring to your attention. How is this edification that is spoken of here? What is edification? What is this building up of the individual? Because it says here in verse 4, he that speaketh with a tongue, he edifies himself. But he that prophesies, he edifies the church. When you speak in tongues, you know what this is about. You do this with understanding, as we spoke in our previous session. When you speak and you know what it is that you are doing, you don't know what it is that you are saying, but you know what it is that you are doing, then I guarantee you, you're going to be very, very blessed. When we sit around and think about how great and wonderful God is with our understanding, I can tell you that I've never been happier in my life than when I was teaching the subject of worship. When I was thinking about how great and magnificent and just awesome Almighty God was. Thinking about all that He had done, giving Him the praise and the thanksgiving and my understanding. Just going through the Scriptures and looking how magnificent and beautiful God was. I want to tell you what, I was on top of the world every day. I had my head into that material. You had to hold me down because I was going to float away. That's how high I was. I was edified. Well, in the same way, I know that when I speak in tongues, I am speaking all of those things that are recorded for me to read. I am speaking to God, yet I am giving to God unselfishly. I am giving to God the praises that the Spirit that He has given me offers to Him. Knowing that, I am edified. There are some that have said, and I've even thought it myself, well, maybe as I speak in tongues, I sort of charge my battery. Well, other scripture says that the Spirit came and it's complete. It's perfect. It's complete. It's full. God doesn't need you to charge it. Believe me, He's charged it already. There is nothing lacking in the Spirit. It comes, it's here, and it's not like you have to feed it. It's a nice thought. It's a thought, but that doesn't make it a scriptural one. There is nothing in the scriptures that says it. It's an assumption that people make. And they use analogies like the human body. You know, we got to feed it physical food. Analogies are only valid if they are scriptural. If they're not scriptural, then, you know, your philosophy is not going to carry water. If you know what I mean. Let's put it this way. When you speak in tongues, you're edified because you know what's going on and what you're giving God. Well, now you've got the opportunity with a room full of people who understand what's going on, you have an opportunity to hear. And I want to tell you what, when you hear the interpretation of the tongue, it will bless you. It's not going to be directed to you, because tongues is directed to God. It's not a message for you. But go to Psalm 150. The last Psalm. It says, praise you the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the organ. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. That wasn't written to you. That was written to and for God. And every one of us wants to join in and praise the Lord. See, it tells me to praise Him, but He's the one getting the praise. He's the one being spoken to and spoken about. This is about God. And it's so hard for people, I think, in the 21st century here. We are in the 21st century, 2004, to think that it's not about them. Everybody thinks it's about them. They should be the center of the universe. And God's Word teaches us that this is about God. It's about giving Him what He is due. And there are two manifestations of Holy Spirit that do that. Speaking in tongues. It's totally unselfish. It's your private prayer life. And then there's the interpretation of tongues, where God is praised and honored and magnified in a room full of people, and the message is still to Him, but all of us are edified in the process and built up in the process. Just like the reading of this 150th Psalm was edifying to me, and I'm sure to you. Look at Psalm 147. Praise you, the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. You want to talk about getting edified? When you give God what is due Him, it is pleasant and praise is comely. Now, remember when I talked about all the different things that speaking in tongues is good for? Speaking well of Him, praising Him, eulogizing Him, speaking of what He has done, making Him big in your own heart and in your own words, magnifying Him. When you read the Psalms, most of the Psalms do all of these things. Just in verse 2 here, Psalm 147, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. Who's the one being praised? Who's the one doing the work? He gathers together the outcast of Israel. It's His deliverance again. He healeth the brokenhearted, the broken in heart, and build up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Who are we speaking about? Who's the one getting the glory, the honor, the praise that is due Him? When you speak in tongues and you bring forth that interpretation, this is the type of message. You know why there is no example? Because God doesn't want you copying it. It's as simple as that. Like the Lord's Prayer was an example He gave. And yet, it's recited and recited like it's the way to pray. Yet, He says, pray like this. You know, if the Lord gave us example after example of interpretation, that's all we'd hear too, the same thing. He tells you its purpose. It shows you in the Word. With your understanding, you know what it is to bless God. With your understanding, you know what it is to give thanks well. With your understanding, you know what it is to pray. And the attitude and the heart that you should have to pray. A whole teaching on prayer. You want speaking in tongues and jumping around a room? Is that how you pray with your understanding? Is that how the Lord taught us to pray? The emotionalism, it's got nothing to do with Scripture. When the Lord taught us to pray, we're talking about speaking in tongues, is a prayer by the Spirit. When He teaches us to pray, He teaches us that we are to enter into our closet of our own heart. This is to be treated as an audience between you and the Almighty God. And you're not to be concerned with what anybody else thinks or hears because you're talking to your Father. And yet, in so many churches, people are rude. They interrupt that audience by jumping in with their own little hallelujah and prayer and, yeah, brother, go for it. Well, that's rude. If I'm having a conversation with another person and you interrupt that way, is that not considered rude? Then why would anybody think that their emotional outburst is not rude to interrupt me between me and my God and my talking to Him? I ask the people in the room to pray with me, to silently thank and ask God to please answer John's prayers. Please answer and help him in what he's asking for. They go to God and they can pray for me. That's what they're to do. Not interrupt me between me and my Father. And the same thing is true with speaking in tongues. It's not to be an interruption in the middle of a teaching, as I've seen many a time. This is a time for an individual who understands what tongues is for. It's not to show your spirituality. I've seen preachers on TV, all of them in the middle of a teaching, they get all excited about something, they start to speak in tongues. Well, speaking in tongues is praising God. And there is a time and a place for everything. There is a time and a place to do things decent and in order. Because you know what? The church is to be edified. And that minister speaking in tongues out loud without the interpretation, as far as you and I have read it, it's not to be done. Paul said, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding in the language of the people present. I'd rather speak five words than 10,000 words in a tongue, because there's no profit. And yet I guess that minister just didn't read those verses. Being ignorant, you can learn. Everybody can learn. I've learned. I've had to change. I've grown. I've had to change. There's no problem with doing that. But it's when you know better and you do it anyhow. That's when you have another motive. And it's not a good one. It's not for me to judge, but it is for you and I to read the scriptures and to teach what they say, not what we want them to say. I know that it's a very cool thing for people to think that they're really spiritual and really into the meeting and really into me praying when they go, yeah, speak it up, brother. I mean, glory, hallelujah. Say it, tell them, tell it. That's the way to go. Well, not in my home, not in my fellowship, not in my church. Again, it's just out of order. It's wrong. And again, common sense tells us these things. These examples we're going to practice here in a minute. And we're going to have interpretation of tongues. And we're going to manifest. And there's just some very simple and practical things that I want you to think about before we have our session here in practice. Number one, when you speak in tongues boldly. Then immediately, when you'll just know when the time to quit, when the time to stop speaking in tongues has come. You'll know it in your heart. Stop speaking in tongues and immediately speak forth the interpretation. When you speak that interpretation, you're not going to pre-think what it is. You're not going to pre-think what it is, because if you do that, you're going to mess yourself up and it's going to be wrong. This is a supernatural manifestation that God has given, and the words are going to be His. He's going to give you the words to speak. It's a matter of faith, as I said with tongues. It's a matter of faith. You've got to trust God that they'll be there. And every time you trust God and His Word, He will be there. He will never, ever be late. Just trust Him and speak. The other thing, when, you know, as you operate these manifestations, again, be peaceful in your heart. Close your eyes. Speak clearly. Speak as loud as necessary for everyone in the room to hear without shouting at them. Again, it's in order, decent and in order. And God will give you, you go to Him, you ask Him, pray. Before, if this is the first time you've done it, pray. Ask God. Because you know what you want to do in this life? You want to seek to excel to the edifying of the church. You want to bless. God wants all of His people who've been filled with His Spirit to manifest these things, and He wants you to desire to edify the church, to really build up and edify the church. And His name will be praised in the process. So, God bless you.